Listen, I was asked before coming, just as I got in the auditorium, I was asked because they had heard what I was going to be speaking on, or they saw my post on Facebook, and they asked, when did you feel like this is what you needed to preach on? I'm going to be preaching or teaching on the subject of fear, the spirit of fear, and I want to label it just the way it is in the Bible, because it is a spirit. And I said, well, it's been almost 2 weeks since Pastor Jeff asked me to speak, and almost immediately I just felt in my spirit that this is what I need to speak on. But here's the thing. Anytime God gives, whether it's me, Pastor Jeff, or whoever it is, listen, if it's something that God knows that the audience needs to hear, I want you to know that the devil will do everything within his power to try to change your mind or preach something else or whatever. But I knew that as soon as the devil started attacking me on this, that it's what I needed to share with you. But if I don't finish, and normally, here's the problem. I have so much that I want to say, and I can't do it in 30 minutes. So how many heard Pastor Jeff said I can continue next week? Okay. Where'd he go? He left. I know. So I appreciate that. Normally, it would take me probably at least three messages to do what I'm going to do today, and I've cut it down way, way down. But here's what I'm going to do. For about a year and a half, I've been writing different books. And a lot of them I would write, and then I would teach on them in my class upstairs. But right now, I've been hung up on the book of Revelation. And so being kind of hung up on it, well then, some of the books that I've written 20 or 21 so far, and there's one that has just been proofed, and I'll give it to my class. And then there's others in the audience that always ask me, you know, can I have your next book and whatever. But here's what I've done today. The book on overcoming fear is a book I wrote probably 6 months ago or maybe even longer. And all of my class have this. But I ran off enough to give every family one of these books, because there's no way in the world I'm going to be able to finish it today. So you can get a head start on what all is in the book today, okay? These will be available after service. They're free of charge. My class upstairs, they fund all of this for me. They pay for all the printing and everything, but they'll be available out in the vestibule where the two round tables are at. Feel free to pick one up and take it home with you and read it. It's got a lot of powerful stuff in it. Now, all of my books, here's the thing about my books. I write these books that pertain to where you live every day. It's what you're facing every day. I wrote one on healing sickness and disease, how to hear and be led by the Holy Spirit, the words of your mouth, how to renew your mind, you know, what faith is all about, and divine healing, and all these different things, things that we face every day. So those books are always available to everyone, but these will be available after service this morning, okay? Hey, let's bow our heads and pray, and let's get right into the message today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here today. We thank you for your word. We know that your word is powerful. It's alive, and once we get it in us, it's going to live in us day and night. It's going to work things in our life that need to be worked out. So we thank you for your word and the power of your word. And today, as I speak the word, let it go forth with power and authority and touch the hearts and lives of those that are here today. And we'll be careful to give you the praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before I begin, there's a couple that's here today, Tim and Pam Boyette. They were my youth pastors back in the 70s, and they claimed that I mentored them, but I did my best anyway, Tim and Pam. But Pam just went through a year or so of cancer, and she's cancer-free. And she told me this morning, she said, all the teaching that you had done and whatever in the years that they were here on faith and trusting God and believing in faith to help us in times when we need help. She said that's what got her through, but she's cancer free. And so we thank God for that. And it's great to have them. They pastored for how many years? 35 years. And so they're going to move back to Choctaw now. I live up in the Tulsa area. But anyway, great to have you guys. Well, listen, the spirit of fear. It's a huge subject. And who would have ever thought that what happened at the Choctaw football game on Friday would ever happen here in Choctaw? But that's how unpredictable the world is today. And one of the greatest attacks upon humanity, without question, is fear. The uncertainty of all that's happening in the world today and all that possibly could happen has produced in the lives of a lot of good Christians fear. And all of this is driven by spirit. And if I say anything today that's important, I want you to know that fear is a spirit-driven, unnatural, ungodly, satanic thing that can get a hold of your life and destroy you before you even know it. And I'll mention many of the ways that this certainly could happen to anyone, even to born-again Christians. People fear what's going to happen tomorrow. They don't know. I don't know either. I know I'm going to get up in the morning. I'm going to come here, but I don't know all that's going to happen. But I know who my God is, and that's the important thing. They fear losing their job. They fear of what's happening with inflation. They fear that there could be another pandemic. Hey, listen, we made it through the last one. Pastor, we're going to make it through another one. I don't care how many they have. God's going to see us through it. And there's no reason for us to fear. They fear concerning their money. Is there going to be enough? Their family, their business. And so we see that fear is one of the most destructive tools that I believe Satan uses against us. And the reason behind it all is to produce in us a fear that makes our faith and our relationship with God ineffective. Now think about that. When Pastor Jeff finished last week in his message, it's a good message. But whenever you talk about trust, you got to talk about fear. And he brought that in, trust. How can you trust God if you're fearing things? You can't do it. If you're living under the power of fear, you're going to think completely different. And the thing that you need to understand is that fear, fear is contagious. And whenever you're around people like that, we'll look at that, maybe not today, but maybe next week, if I get next week. I'm telling you, it's a very contagious thing. And once it gets a hold of your life, it'll eat away at you. You're afraid to get up in the morning. You're afraid to go to work. You're afraid to go to a ball game. You're afraid to get onto an airplane. All of these different things will enter your mind. But I'm here to tell you that God, 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power. That word power is dunamis. That's the Greek word. It's an ever-producing power. How do you see yourself this morning? Do you see yourself with an ever-producing power on the inside of you? That's what God has given you. He's not given you the spirit of fear. Fear comes from the devil. And you know, here's the thing that I don't understand. I talk to people all the time, and people say, well, it's just natural. Everyone fears something. Boy, the devil has duped you if you believe that. Amen? If you as a believer believe that. I'm telling you that Satan is out to bring fear to your heart. He wants you to be afraid of everything. He wants you to walk in fear because you can't walk in faith and walk in fear at the same time. It's impossible. And listen, we're living in a world today where we need to increase the strength of our faith and our relationship with God. So Jesus said, or 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love. There's been a lot of teaching around here on love. Listen, you're going to love each other. I don't care if it kills you. You're going to love each other even if it kills you. And a sound mind. Quit going around and telling everyone, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. You give enough of it away and you won't have a mind. Amen. God has given us everything that we need to walk victorious in the absence of fear. And I want you to know, I won't finish the message maybe until next week, but I just want you to know this. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. We're here. The pastoral staff is here. We're here to encourage you. I don't care what's happening in your life or what Satan's telling you that's going to happen. You know, the devil will come at you and try to make you believe you're going to die, that you got cancer, that you got a heart problem, and all kinds of things. There's things that people worry about that never happen in their life. And I think we've all been guilty of that at one time or another. There are three kinds of fear. And I felt like I needed to share this with you because whenever you read in the Bible, it says that we are to fear God. Well, there is a godly fear, and you need to understand what a godly fear is. It speaks of a reverence to God. It's an awe. If I was in the presence of God, I would be one in awe. I mean, I would probably be shaking. I'm almost shaking this morning because of the anointing that is here today. And that anointing is here to destroy the yoke. God wants you to be free. I don't care what's happening in the world today. It's probably not going to change. We can pray and do everything we can do and change it. But the one thing that I can change is me. Amen. The way I think, the things I listen to, the places I go, the things that I watch and whatever. I don't want anything in this world to influence me to move over into an area of fear. But godly fear speaks of a reverence and awe to God. Think of who God is. He's omnipotent. That's all powerful. He's omniscient. That means He's everywhere. Or omnipresent means He's everywhere. Omniscient means He's all-knowing. I don't know anyone. I don't know anyone except God that is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. Only God. I'm in awe about that. Now, there's a second fear. A second fear is a natural fear that's instinctive fear placed in you for self-presentation. I watched purposely, it was on TV, but I think I watched it on YouTube. A guy jumped out of an airplane 12 or 14,000 feet in the air without a parachute, and they directed him down to hit a net that was placed on the ground where it would protect him. I thought, well, my instinctive self-preservation told me I'm not going to do that. The good thing was he hit the net. He didn't hit it in the middle, but he hit the net. But there's a fear of self-presentation. There's things that I'm not going to do because it's unsafe. How many understand what I'm talking about? But now the fear we want to talk about is an unnatural fear. It's satanic. It comes from Satan and his demon forces. And this kind of unnatural, ungodly fear is the fear that a lot of people today are walking in, and even Christians are doing it. And they're making statements like everyone fears, everyone has this, they fear that, whatever. They fear what's going to happen with our economy. They fear what's going to happen with the election. Listen, I'm not fearful of any of these things. All I can do is do my part, and that's all you can do. And then trust God to work in you so you can do your part. So we're not going to walk in fear. Now here's what fear will do to you. And this may be as far as I'll get because it's getting late already. Here's what fear will do to each of us. First of all, fear came to the human race by Adam and Eve. When Adam sinned, you know, I keep thinking about this and I teach on my chart upstairs. Do you know if Adam and Eve had not have sinned, they would still be on the earth today? And God's eternal purpose from the very beginning would still be going on. But whenever Adam sinned, he broke covenant with God. And when he did, that fear came in his heart, because when Jesus came, or when God came in the cool of the evening to visit with him, he had hid himself because of the sin that was in his heart, the sin that he had committed, breaking covenant with God. And so we see that where fear began was with Adam. But we see that through every age that the world has seen, this fear has continued to go on. More people than you think have fear in their hearts, more so than what you could ever imagine that they do. Christians do. Amen? I'm here to tell you, you don't have to have that fear. A fear of what's going to happen in the world. You know, I'm in this world, you're in this world, but I'm not of this world. You and I are nothing but ambassadors. And we're here to exalt God, talk about Jesus, preach the gospel, do everything that we can to lead people to Christ. But fear in this world is destroying a lot of people's lives. It can destroy your family, your business, your church. Many fear that their health is diminishing. They feel like they're going to die of certain things because of generational curses that were in their family and whatever. Listen, every family has generational curses. You hunt long enough and you'll find them. Amen. And so people say, "Oh, have you ever gone to the doctor? When you go to the doctor, you know, you fill out all those sheets. What are they asking you? Did your mom or your dad, did any brothers, any of this and whatever?" They want a history of everything so they can make a diagnosis on you. Listen, Margaret and I, we broke generational curses in our life a long time ago. When I realized that we could do that, I'm not going to live with the fear that Satan wants us to live with. Fear produces sickness, disease, failure, heartache, mental disorders, and even death. Fear in your spirit will make your body sick. You know, the doctors, as a matter of fact, I've talked to medical doctors. I asked this to make sure it was true. They'll tell you that fear, if you're walking in fear every day, it secretes a chemical in your body that's dangerous to the health of your body. Now, you can believe that or not, but if you're walking in fear every day, listen, you're in trouble already. But God says you don't have to walk in fear. He's not giving you the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. That's where I want to live every day, and that's where all of us ought to want to live. In Judges 6 and 7, I thought I would throw some of these scriptures in. How many know the story of Gideon? You know, Gideon with 32,000 men wasn't even enough to face the army that he was going to have to face. And then God says, "I want you to go and tell all of those that are fearful to leave." 22,000 of them left. And now all he's got is 10,000. And so God says, "I want you to do one other thing." It came down to 300 people, and 300 people with God's help did the job that 32,000 couldn't have done. Now stop and think about that. 22,000. I wonder if you went to a church and said, "Listen, all the people that fear, I want you to get up and leave." I wonder how many people would be left in the pews. People think different than what I do. Have you noticed that? Hey, Romans 10:17, it says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And I quote that all the time. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Did you know that fear comes by hearing? Hearing what's happening in the world? What's going on? I don't know about you, but Margaret and I are very careful about what we watch on TV when it comes to the news media. Now, if you listen to the news media long enough, I tell you what, it'll put fear in your heart. And you listen to what all the sicknesses and diseases and everything's going on in the world. Listen, I have to get up every morning. Now, I know people don't do exactly what I do, but I get up every morning, and you've heard me say this, but God says every time you preach, I want you to say it over and over until it gets in the hearts and lives of people. But when I get up every morning, there's a routine I go through, and that routine is getting up and speaking the word over my life, and over my body, and over my family, and over my church, over my children. And I get up and do that, but every time, I use different scriptures, but every time, I have to go to Psalms 91. "No plague shall come nigh my dwelling. He satisfies me with long life and shows me His salvation." I have to go to Psalms 91. I'm going to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And listen, when we begin to live the Word, that's what we've got to do. We've got to live the Word. You've got to read the Word. You've got to study the Word. You've got to meditate the Word. And you've got to get that Word on the inside of you. And as soon as you get it on the inside of you, your whole life will change. Now, my class has heard me say this. Do you know when you get the Word on the inside of you? Do you know when you're sleeping, the Word is working? If you're confessing it, if you believe it, you confess something long enough and you'll get it down deep in your heart. You got to say it. You got to believe it. Here are four things, and I'll quit on this because I want to give a certain kind of altar call. But here are four things that will happen, what fear will do in your life. Number one, it'll paralyze your faith. Fear will cause your faith to become inoperable, ineffective, And this is what happened with Job. Now, I know everyone has probably a different opinion about... I read the book of Job over and over again, and I remember the one time that I was reading, and I thought, you know, this seems so unlikely that God would just turn Job over to the devil. And that's basically what he did. But then I found something in Scripture that told me that basically... God had to. Have I got your attention? And you'll find it in Job 3:25. I mean, even God said, have you ever seen a righteous man like Job and how good he is and this and that and whatever? And then of course, Satan says, let me get my hands on him and we'll see how much he loves you. Well, we know the whole story and the test and whatever. And Job, we know that Job made it through it and God gave him twice as much as what he had before. But here was the key to all of this to me. Now, you don't have to agree with me. But in Job 3:25, and a little bit later, I'll share with you verse 26 as well. He said, for the thing that I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of has come unto me. Think about it. What he greatly feared. You fear something long enough, and it'll probably happen in your life. Amen. You fear it. Listen to me. The Bible tells us that the devil goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Matter of fact, in 1 Peter 5:8-9, it says, be sober, be vigilant. That means be alert at all time because your adversary. Do you know the devil is your adversary? He goes about as a roaring lion. All he has to do to most Christians is just roar and they fall apart. As a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And the Bible says, whom resist? Listen, the devil, he's not omniscient. He doesn't know everything about you. But all you got to do is start confessing it, and then he knows. And evidently from Job 3:25-26, that's exactly what he did. He started living that. He started saying that and whatever. And that which he greatly feared came upon him. That's how powerful fear is. Here's the second thing. Fear will cause you to take your eyes off Jesus. I love all the stories of Jesus when he was here on earth and how he dealt with the disciples. There's been people here at the church that will do certain things that, and I'll kind of get on to them and I'll say to them, how long must I be with you? How long must I be with you? I thought by now you would know, you would learn and whatever. Well, that's kind of the way Jesus was with his disciples. So in Matthew the 14th, the 14th chapter, it's a story of the disciples being out on a boat, and evidently there was a boisterous wind that came up, and they saw someone walking on the water, and it was Jesus. And Peter said, Lord, if it be you, then bid me to come. And he said, come. Now the Bible says he stepped out of the boat, and he walked on water until when? Until he took his eyes off Jesus. And then the Bible says he began to sink. Listen, it's easy to get our eyes off Jesus. It's easy to become so consumed with everything that's happening in the world and what our responsibilities are that Jesus becomes secondary rather than primary in our lives. So fear will cause you, now listen, fear will cause you to look at the problem rather than the problem solver. When something happens, the first thing you ought to look at is the problem solver. As a matter of fact, I just finished a book that I haven't printed out yet, and it's on God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Have you ever stopped to think when you're going through something of just saying, God, what are your thoughts on this? No, we're going to do it our way, or the way we want to do it. We get ourselves in trouble because of us. You know, most of the things we go through is our fault. Some things you can't even blame on the devil. Amen. And I'll tell you why, because it's bad decisions that we make. When you take your eyes off of Jesus, listen, things are going to begin to change in your life. And what do I mean whenever I say keep your eyes on Jesus? Keep your eyes on the Word, reading the Word, studying the Word. This is something we ought to be doing every day. I know you look at Pastor Jeff and me and Pastor Keith and you think, well, that's your ministry. That's what. No, that's your ministry too. How can you go out into all the world and preach and teach the gospel and share the gospel if you don't know the gospel? You got to know it. A lot of people say, well, this is what I've been taught. Well, did you look it up yourself? Listen, anything I teach, you're welcome to challenge me on it. And if I'm wrong, I'll be the first to repent. Amen? And you're thinking, well, let me think here. No, because if we're wrong, we ought to admit we're wrong. I don't think I'm wrong about Job. I think Job brought up on him what happened to him because of what he greatly feared. I think there's many things that happen in our lives that we greatly fear, and it brings a lot of different things. Fear will destroy your confidence and trust in God and His Word. I preached a message on this. It's in Mark, the 4th chapter, starting with verse 35 through 41. But I just happened to be reading this. This has been years ago I preached this message, but Jesus got on the boat with His disciples, and He said, now listen, now maybe you never caught this. He said, we're going to the other side. How many's read that? He said, we're going to go to the other side. But in the midst of their going to the other side, there's a great storm that came up, and Jesus is sleeping through it. So the disciples come to Him and say, listen, Jesus, I mean, listen, we're all going to perish. The wind is blowing and whatever, and we're all going to perish. And of course, Jesus said, you have little faith. And He got up and He rebuked the storm. But the key to me was Jesus said, we're going to the other side. And then I thought of Romans 3:4. It says, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. So I look at that. Let God be true. Let His Word be true. If God said it, I believe it. You're never going to change my mind on something that God said, and God said it belongs to us, or God said that we can do it. Let me give you a little run of things right here that may kind of help you to understand as I make an application. You know, fear says you can't. But God's Word says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things. That is, all things He's promised me. I can do all things. Listen to it. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. Do you believe that? That was a weak amen. Fear says you don't know how you're going to make it. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply my every need according to His riches and glory. You know how many times I've quoted these scriptures over and over and over again whenever I had a need of some kind. Fear says that you're never going to be well. Well, I just give one scripture, Matthew 8:17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Esaias, that He Himself, speaking of Jesus, took our infirmities and He bare our sicknesses. Well, if He took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses, why should I be carrying these things? Amen. Listen, I believe strongly in divine healing. I believe it's for us. I really do. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed. Sickness is an oppression. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Amen. And everyone's getting quiet now. Always like, I mean, I don't get preached very often now, so Pastor Jeff, I mean, I just want to hit them all, you know. And then you can clean up after me, okay? Will you do that? They're going to say, how in the world did you make a decision to let him speak today? Well, fear says the mountain is too big in your life and you're never going to conquer it. Well, a scripture comes to me, not just one, many, but Mark 11:23. That whosoever shall say unto that mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast to the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believeth those things which he saith shall come to pass, he'll have whatsoever he says. Amen. I believe that. See, we're too busy looking at the mountain. When you look at the mountain with fear, it's too big. I don't know how I'm going to get rid of it. I don't know how I'm going to conquer this thing or whatever. But when you begin to look at it in faith, now you've engaged God into the part that only God can do. Listen, we're responsible to do everything we can do, but God's going to do for us what we can't do. And there's plenty we can't do, but we got to do our part. Well, fear says your prayers will never get answered. There's something I prayed about this week. Now, I know better, But the devil's never going to leave you alone. Something that I prayed about this week, and the devil said, it'll never happen. It'll never, but it did happen. Because I take Mark 11:24, and I quote that over and over again. It says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. And I just stood upon, not just that scripture alone, but I stood on many other scriptures as well. And I'm telling you, God came on the scene and provided what needed to be provided. That's the God you serve. How big is God to you? Is He omnipotent? Is He omniscient? Is He omnipresent in your life? Sure He is. Here's another one. Fear says, you're weak and you're defeated. And I quote this a lot too, Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things. I'm thinking about all the things I'm facing at that time. And then I think of this scripture. Nay, in all these things, I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ who loves me. I'm more than a conqueror. You know what more than a conqueror is? More than, I always thought of a conqueror being, being where whatever you're doing that you conquer it only on your own and whatever. Being more of a conqueror is having someone on your side that's bigger than you are. More than a conqueror. I can't be more than a conqueror without Jesus Christ. Amen? And with Him, everything He says I can do, I know that I can do. We've got to learn how to stand on the Word. Here's another favorite one of mine. Fear says, you're powerless. I dare the devil to tell me that. I'm kind of dangerous when it comes to some of the people say, oh, I wouldn't upset the devil. I want to upset him. I want to make him so mad that he can't stand it because he knows he's defeated. But whenever he says, you don't have any authority, you're powerless and whatever, I pull out Luke 10:19. It says, He has given me authority. It says power in the King James, but the Greek word is exousia, which means authority. He's given unto me authority. Now listen to this. Authority to do what? To tread upon the serpent, the scorpion, over all the power of the enemy. And nothing by any means shall hurt me. That's the power you have on the inside of you. You're going to have to believe it before you'll ever live it. Well, it's not important what fear says. What's important is what God says. And this is why, again, that you need to read and study the Word of God and allow that Word to get on the inside of you. Listen, when it's working, I don't care if you got cancer, I don't care if you got a heart problem, I don't care what it is, you need the Word of God working on the inside of you. There's things that God can do for you and building your faith and whatever, that whenever you're there at that place and whatever, your faith is going to be strong enough that you can make it through it. Here's the last thing, and I'll close with this. And then next week we're going to be talking about the causes of fear and then how to conquer fear. But fear brings total defeat to you as an individual. It'll defeat you spiritually, physically, financially, mentally, emotionally, in every way. There's a lot of people that are just tired all the time because of the fear that they face and the fear that they're walking in. Proverbs 19:25, it says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. How many knows what a snare is? When I was a kid, a relative of mine, showed me how to make a snare where you could catch little animals, like a rabbit or skunk or that you wouldn't want to catch or something of that nature. But that's what a snare is. And Satan has all kinds of snares that are out there. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whosoever putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Fear not dealt with will fester, and I'm telling you, it'll breed even more fear. It never goes away. It's not going to stop. It may be very mild right now, but as you go on, it's going to get worse and worse. It's going to fester. It's going to continue. Then it's going to be contagious. You're going to begin to touch other people's lives with it. Let me ask you a couple questions before I close. Do you know what kept Israel out of the promised land for 40 years? What was it? It was fear. He sent the 12 spies to go over to the promised land. And when you read that, you're thinking, oh, it looks like they're all for it. The 10 voiced their feelings first, and they said, listen, it's everything God says it is. It's flowing with milk and honey. It's got everything. It's a wonderful place, but we look like grasshoppers in the sight of the giants that are over there. But then Joshua, and Joshua and Caleb was the only two out of the 12 that got to go to the promised land, because they said, yes, it's everything God said, but we're well able. See, that's where you've got to get in life, that you know that you're well able, because who's on the inside of you? The word that's on the inside of you, God wants you to use that word every day, and you'll find out how powerful that word is and what it can do in your life. But Israel couldn't go in. 40 years for a generation to pass so a new generation could go in. Here's another one. Do you know why King Saul and Israel wouldn't face Goliath? You know why they wouldn't? Hey, this is an easy one now. Because of fear. And yet again, I mean, you look at King Saul, the Bible says he was head and shoulder above everyone else. So, I mean, and that giant still looked big to him. I mean, you stop and think about that. The people back in that day, they say, was normally about 5 foot five or six or maybe seven or whatever. But the Bible says that Saul was head and shoulders above all of them. So evidently the giants were bigger than that. Depends on how you look at what a cubit is. It can be 18 inches, 21 inches. On a giant, could be as much as 25 inches. I'm just saying the Goliath was a big problem. And yet we see David with the help of God. I see you as a congregation with the help of God can go beyond anything that you could ever imagine in doing what God has called you to do. But you'll never do it as long as you walk in fear. The purpose of fear is to destroy your faith, produce failure and bondage. But I thank God for what He said. He's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. I want you to purpose in your heart that you're not going to move in fear. You're going to move in faith. But faith comes how? How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There's no way you can have faith in God until you get to know God. Pastor Jeff has spent hours on messages of relationship. What kind of relationship do you have with God? You need to know who God is. Who God is to you. I mean, we need to know who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, what we can do in Christ. If you don't know that, you're going to live a miserable life. Listen, at 50 years, am I older than that? At 78 years of age, I think my best years are yet to come. And I don't want you to look, well, I'm only 25 and no, I think your best years are yet to come. And when you get over in faith, you find that you find everything changes in your life. Listen, I was never a fighter in school. I was a lover. Not really. Well, I was a lover, but I didn't mean it in the way you probably think I was talking about. But I was never a fighter. But I never minded fighting someone that I knew that I could whip. Amen. I never minded, and I only got in a few scuffles. It was normally the guys that I was the closest to. And me and him got in a fight one time in the locker room, and they sent us to the principal, the principal. And we went into his office, and he asked us what happened. We told him the truth and whatever. He said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to put the boxing gloves on both of you and put you on the mat, and you two are going to fight it out. And if one of you falls down, I'm going to whip you till you get up. This June Dawkins, who was a principal and superintendent at one time at Child, that's what he said. He said, I'm going to whip you till you get up. And Rick and I, we looked at each other and we said, well, listen, we think we got it worked out. There's no way in the world I was going to do that. But when you know you can whip the devil, a lot of Christians don't know that because of the fear that's in their heart. You can do it. Amen? And I enjoy going and praying with people, because I know I've got a person that calls me just about every week. She'll call me. She graduated with us and whatever. And maybe she's watching. I don't know. But I mean, when she calls me, I mean, we go after it. I mean, whatever's bothering her that day, we go after. She called me last night and the same thing. And she feels like that God has met her need and whatever. I love praying with people. I love being with people. I know God's bigger than what your problem is. But you're going to have to quit looking at the problem, and you're going to have to start looking at the problem solver. Because God's bigger than any problem that you got. Come on, stand with me.